In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome as we gather for worship this Lenten Sunday. We invite you to take time to sign the welcome pads that you'll find on the inside aisle so that we may know your name as you have worshiped with us in these days and that you may greet one another by name following the service as you pass the pad down the pew. If you would like to share your email address so that you can be on our Providence Publicist emailing list, we would welcome that information as well as any other information that you would like us to know and have. Want to say a big thank you to those who worked on the snow this week. It was a challenging snowstorm. If you are not on our snow list and would be willing to be contacted, should we have another snowstorm? Hopefully not. There is a sign-up sheet in the Hope Room to the side. This morning after worship, you're invited to a time of fellowship in the Hope Room where you can share refreshments and greet one another after worship this morning. Also available this morning are Easter cards that have been developed by Lee Vanderbond for the benefit of the Deacons Fund. If you would like to pick up some of those, please take notice of that. There'll be more information about those cards in next week's Publicist, as well as the opportunity to purchase them. And Cheryl Mason, do you want to make the announcement, or?
We tried to catch everyone as you came in the door to give you one free card in the hopes that you'll send those out to friends and family. So if you did miss getting your free one, please come to the door at the end of service and we'll give you one.
Or you can talk to Shirley Mason Jones. Deacon Shirley Mason Jones will be at the table in the Hope Room this morning. Please do take note of the announcements that you'll find in the bulletin this morning. There are many things happening in the life of this congregation in these hours and days. We do hope that, and it looks like the weather will be clear for Tuesday nights together on Tuesday, which is, Gina, do you want me to make the announcements or do you want a different voice?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we will be continuing our Tuesday Nights Together series with this Tuesday. The theme for the potluck dinner will be comfy casseroles. So if you want to bring a casserole dish, but always any kind of food or drink is welcome. So feel free to bring a dessert or any other items that you wish to bring. If you had something green prepared for last week, if it's still good and you wanted to bring it in on Tuesday, that's totally fine also. So really anything goes. Dinner starts at 6 o'clock. We are always open to having people to help us set up around 5:30 if you're available to come early. We are also looking for another person to help out with childcare. We're also with childcare. And then programs start at 7 o'clock. And for those of you who missed last week because of the snowstorm, just so you know, we are still just doing the TNT series in the month of March, so it will only be 3 sessions instead of the 4 originally scheduled. So the ending date is still the same at the end of March.
Thanks. Yes.
Just let you know that my big choir that rehearses here on Wednesday night will be there you go. We have our concert next week, next Saturday night, 7:30 at St. Peter and Paul. We are doing the Mass in Time of War from Haydn, but also a piece that's been written for our 60th anniversary season, I Dream a World, which is a lovely, lovely piece about how we dream. Anyway, I have tickets for $20. You can also get them at the door and various other things, but we have special prices, very special.
And the I Dream a World piece is based on a poem by Langston Hughes.
Just one more sort of announcement. I am looking for anyone who is talented or skilled in the areas of not necessarily interior decorating, but anyone who's good with organizing space. I'm looking for people to help with helping to organize our Sunday school classrooms downstairs a little bit with some of the furniture we have, and helping to identify any other new furniture needs, that kind of thing. That is not my strength. So if any of you are interested in that or would like to help out, please see me during coffee hour today. Thanks.
Also this week, the Personnel Committee is meeting on Wednesday night. Stay tuned if you're on the Personnel Committee for the exact timing of that meeting. Worship Committee meets on Thursday a night at 7 o'clock and is finalizing plans for Holy Week and Easter, and I'm sure they are always welcome input or your attendance at that meeting as well. On Friday night, there is a special program the Unitarian Church is sponsoring about the Sanctuary Church movement. There's information about that on the bulletin board, in the community bulletin board in the Hope Room, in preparation also for our Sunday conversation about the Church Sanctuary movement with Reverend Don Anderson after worship at 12 o'clock on Sunday. Also on Sunday afternoon, you'll see information in the bulletin in the wider community about the Stages of Freedom presentation of the poetry of Maya Angelou, and there's a flyer on that and the bulletin board as well for that. Are there any other announcements this morning? Yes, Joe.
Andrew's announcement reminded me that I can sell tickets too. Rhodes Elementary School is doing a production of Lion King Jr., starring Harrison as Pumbaa and Helena as a lioness. And the shows are Friday, April 7 at 7 p.m. and Saturday, April 8 at 2 p.m. Tickets are $10. It's going to be held at the Parkview Middle School instead of at the elementary school. If you would like tickets, please see me after church. Thanks.
Thank you. Millie.
Good morning. Please welcome members of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, hope my sorority sisters. Delta is a public service sorority, but in March we celebrate Sisterhood Month, and one way in which we do that is by worshiping together. Thank you.
Welcome.
Glad to be here this morning. We are Josie and Ben Harrison's grandparents. So while they're having a little special time without the kids in New York City, we're having a special time with the kids here in Providence.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Please join with me in the responsive call to worship. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Through the gift of the Holy Spirit, God's love is poured into our hearts. Let us worship God with joy. In quietness and trust, your grace abounds. Open our hearts, O God, that we might pour forth our confession, our sin, our separation, our brokenness, that it might be healed through the power of your forgiving love. Let us pray together, first in silence, then confessing together. God of great mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you. You provide our daily bread, still we hunger for other things. You give your word to guide us, still we surrender to temptation. Forgive us, God of grace. Create a clean heart within us. Teach us your holy way and restore the joy of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Great is the mercy of our Lord, new every morning. Friends, believe this good news. In Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Let us sing our response. I want Jesus to walk with me.
Good morning. We are blessed to have as a part of our worship service an opportunity to lift up together our joys and our concerns. It is a sacred space in which you are not forced, but you are invited to share where you would like our congregation to join you in prayer. Is there someone who would like to run the microphone? All right. Our own Pumbaa. When I was a young warthog. Are there any prayer concerns amongst the congregation?
I have two prayer concerns. One is for a woman. Her name is Christine. She is a dear friend of my friend Scott. She gave birth to her baby. I don't know if it was a boy or girl. And she immediately needed surgery to remove her her ovaries and everything, and she's not doing well. So please pray for her. She's in the hospital still at this time. And then the second prayer is, prayer request is for Sean and I. We're trying to get a house. It has not been going well. And we found another one yesterday that we put an offer on. So we're really hoping that this one goes through. So your prayers would be appreciated.
My sister's father-in-law, who lived here in town, died this week, and we had services for him yesterday. And he's had a wonderful and important life, and but like to keep him and his family in our prayers.
Gus.
My sister and brother-in-law are going to be going to Cuba this week, and my brother-in-law is not in good health. They've debated whether to not go. So prayers that they will go and get back without any major incident, and they'll be able to enjoy their time in Cuba. I also have deep concerns about the proposed budget and the budget cuts, and without belaboring things, one of the cuts is going to be to the Coast Guard, which is not getting a lot of play nationally, but here at home, the Coast Guard is very big for Rhode Island. I'd like prayers for all of our congresspeople. I know they're all on the same side of these issues, but we need to lift them up and to lift up all the people that are going to be hurt by these proposed cuts. Thank you.
Many of you have prayed over the last couple of years for my friend Johanna, who lives in Spain, teaching English as a second language to children. And she had this infection in her eyes that was compromising her eyesight. And I'm happy to tell you that her mom just came home from Spain. The doctors in Valencia are giving good news about this last episode of infection, and she still has sight. So praise be to God, prayer works.
Amen.
I'd like to ask for ongoing prayers for anyone with mental illness and anyone trying to help those with mental illness. For the medication makers that are hawking drugs that don't seem to make any difference for some families. And then please let me add a joy on this almost spring day. If you go out the side door, you will see a clump of crocuses that are just joyful. All mine froze because they got up too early, but these are marvelous.
I like prayers for my friend Lauren. She also had a very hard birth 2 weeks ago.
She's in the Air Force in D.C. She almost passed during the process. The baby's completely fine, very healthy. I was there last week to help her mother, who was in from Chicago. So she's basically on the whim of friends who can come and help while she heals and helps her connect with the baby.
I want prayers for my friend Jacob's dad. He's in the hospital, and he's very sick.
My stepdad, Pete, is going through somewhat of a stressful time at work, so prayers for him. And he and my mom, Ann, will be traveling to Orlando next week, so prayers for safe travels.
I want to ask prayers for my brother-in-law who has to go to emergency surgery last 2 weeks for eye surgery. So healing prayers for Set Ajovo.
Please pray for my father. He's not eligible for surgery, so just he will stay pain-free as much as possible and will be able to move as long as possible. You know, it's just in God's hands.
We also would like to lift up Dan Varen, who had surgery last week for a broken leg, and his recovery is very, very slow, so he's still in the hospital. Please keep him and his daughter Laura, who's juggling all of those pieces, in prayer in this time. Let us pray. Creator of all life, hope, love, and justice, we gather to be strengthened by your Spirit. Bless, O God, those who grieve losses, sudden or slow, for the shock to Comfort and her family in the death of her brother-in-law, Albert, and for her sister, Margaret, in these days. For this season, for Jamie, Chuck's daughter, in the midst of a long journey, and for folks named and unnamed here as well, we lift our prayers. We pray for your strengthening and guiding hand to bring clarity of vision to those in need of health, for Dan, for Lynn Stanhope in eye surgery this week. We pray for those imprisoned of body, mind, or spirit, of addiction, mental illness, or incarceration, for hope and peace in the midst of dark places and those who walk with them. We pray, O Lord, for Victor and his family, for pain-free and mobility as long as possible, for Elena in her continuing recovery, for Sherry's friend Christine, for Lauren and those who are helping in the midst after that birth, for Caleb's dad and Sid's recuperation from eye surgery. We pray, O God, for our world, for our country, for refugees and immigrants unsettled and targeted with hate, for those in the midst of the battles this week around healthcare and the budget, for strength for Congress to act with compassion, wisdom, and vision, to be guided by you. We thank you, O God, that we can see our joys and blessings. We thank you for milestone birthdays for Judy Blackadar and Ann Foster, for returns to health to Andrew, for Gus's life so well lived, for healing for Johanna. We thank you for the gift of gathering together in worship, for your presence that is seen in community together, in fellowship together, as we learn and grow in your Spirit. We thank you for the Delta sisters in our midst this day, sharing worship, and for all who are visiting with us and have come to call this community a place of refuge and strength. We thank you for opportunities to travel and for your traveling mercies to be with those who do, for the safe return of Pastor Siobhan and her family from the important and good work of the next church. We pray for your transitions of life as Sherry and Sean look for a new home together, for Suzanne's sister and brother-in-law in their travels to Cuba, for Pete in his work stress, and for their travels to Florida with Anne. We thank you for opportunities to be away and for grandparents who make that possible. Restore our faith, O God, to the beauty of holiness witnessed in courageous kindness as we make our way out into the world. Through all of life's journeys, you walk with us. You promise to be with us, to show us the way. Make us your disciples of love in all that we say and do, through the power of the one who walked this earth, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Will our young worshipers come forward, please?
Water out of the well. What did I do?
Pail.
What?
Pail. Bucket.
A bucket.
Exactly. Somebody knows this story. There was someone there. Who was there? There was a woman. Let me grab the microphone so your wisdom can be heard. There was a
woman.
Yes, and she had a bucket. But there was something about this woman that made it so that they weren't really supposed to be friends. Yeah, well, she was from a different community. She was a Samaritan. And Jesus, well, he was Jewish, and they really were told from little that they weren't supposed to be friends. How does it feel to get told you're not supposed to be friends with someone? It feels really awful. You're right. It feels so awful. And even though both of them could have been at the well, and Jesus could have been thirsty and just said, well, that person's not supposed to be my friend. I'm just not going to ask for help. Instead, we see Jesus of all people, asking for help. Wow. And he asked the lady, woman, can you get me some water? And she's like, don't you know? I'm a Samaritan. Our people aren't that supposed to be talking to each other. Exactly. And then Jesus said something that was mind-blowing to her, just utterly mind-blowing to her. He says, woman, if you knew who you were talking to, if you knew right now who you were in conversation with, you would ask me for water. And she's like, but dude, you don't even have a bucket. Like, how would you get me water? And he said, the water that I would give you would be living water. And when you drink from this water, you would never, ever, 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 ever be thirsty again. Exactly. Mind blown. Can you imagine? You live in the desert. How awesome it would be to never, ever, ever be thirsty again. It would be amazing. It would be weird, but it also would probably save you a lot of time from trucking up to the top of the mountain to get to the well. And anybody ever carried like a bucket of water or even a gallon of water?
No. Yes.
Is it like super easy just to like toss it around? And
no,
it's
a pain in the butt.
It's a pain in the tuchus. Yeah, it's really hard work. Jesus was offering her something unbelievable. And then he goes on and tells her everything about her life. Can you imagine walking up to someone you think is a complete stranger? They ask you for some water, and then they go on to tell you everything about your life. How would that feel? It would feel very strange. I would be a little uncomfortable, especially if they do all of your business. And I mean all of your business. Even the stuff you don't even want your parents to know about, but of course you guys don't have those sorts of things, right? Exactly. I'd be like, okay, I'm going to go now. I'm sort of embarrassed. But she does something that I think is like the best part of this story. She's so excited. She goes, come. And she goes up to a friend who's in town. She goes, guess what? There's this guy that I just met who told me everything about myself. Could he be the one that we've been waiting for forever? Could he be the Messiah? Could he be the one? And guess what happens? This friend tells another friend. Could it be? Could it be? Could it be? Let me hear you, sorry. Could it be? Could it be? Could it be? And then they all go back. Not just because of what she says, but they all get to know this Jesus. And it's because of what they learn about Jesus that they too start telling this awesome news. Because Jesus said, Indeed, I am he. This is an awesome story, right? Yeah. Mind-blowing. Let us pray together, okay? Let us pray. Can you all repeat after me? Dear God, thank you for the wells. Thank you for the places where we find you and we don't expect it. Thank you for blowing our minds and knowing us and loving us. Amen. Great job. I love it when God blows my mind. Happens all the time. Great.
Thank you, Stephen. Sure. Good morning.
Good morning.
Lord, we pray that like your... like the sun rays coming down in increasing numbers and lighting up the ground and starting to warm us as we expect spring, that your light may come down onto the words today and brighten them, brighten their meanings in our lives. Our first reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to him, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The epistle lesson is from Romans chapter 15. "Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, 'Therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name.' And again he says, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.' And again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him.' And again, Isaiah says, 'The root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope.' May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Now let us join together in singing hymn 324, "Open My Eyes That I May See."
Thank you. And so we pray. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open our hearts, illumine us, Spirit divine. Amen. So I just had a really awesome week, really full week. First road trip with a four-month-old kind of week. It was amazing. Many gifts from the next church. And I, first of all, want to thank this congregation for allowing for that time to be had. It was a gift. Thank you. Thank you. I wanted to lift up some words that came from a colleague of ours. She's been here many times, Jenny Smanek. She shared on Facebook a little reflection about this Lenten season, because I don't want us to forget that we are indeed in Lent. She shared the words from her granddaughter. Her granddaughter says, "Nana, is it right that Lent is a season of waiting?" "Yes, yes it is." "Is it right that Advent is a season of waiting?" Jenny says, "Yes, yes it is." "Nana, are there any more seasons of waiting? Because I really don't like waiting." Her granddaughter says, "Waiting is hard, amen? Amen. But waiting is a little bit easier when we do it with and for each other, amen? Amen." I lift up today's scripture. It is the lectionary text, the gospel text is for this week. It is also the text that we wrestled with at Next Church throughout the week. I was blessed to hear the scripture preached by several different, very gifted preachers as we gathered over 500 Presbyterians in breaking open this scripture around the theme of wells and walls. I heard the reflections of our own presbyteries, Julie Emery, as she reflected on it, as well as Alonzo Johnson, who was here not so long ago. Alonzo actually opened us up in worship. The very first words or sounds were those of him beating a drum and welcoming us into our worshiping time together. And so he specifically wants me to bring greetings back to PPC, fondly remembering his time here earlier in the year. This scripture has many, many, many gifts, but what I'd like to name and wrestle with is the joy of welcome. That's the theme I'd like for us to reflect on. But I should let you know that this is not going to be a one-way sermon. You all are going to have to put in some work in a little bit. So prepare your hearts and minds in whatever ways you have to do it, that you're going to have to think and process together. I want to give a little forewarning for the introverts in the group. This scripture is a gift. It comes from the Gospel of John, as we've shared, but I want to point out slowly something about just that fact alone. The Gospel of John, it is the fourth of the Gospels in the order that we have them presented in our Bible, but it's also very different because it's the only one that isn't synoptic, in that it is not phrased and gathered in the same way in which the first four are, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are several accounts of Jesus' life and ministry that are unique in particular to John's gospel alone, including this very one. Because John is so different from the onset, we have questions about how do we fold in its incongruences? How do we look at the very true differences of this holy scripture, particularly in some of the ways in which John phrases and reflects on things uniquely? In some ways, he's an artist, weaving images and sounds, experiences and voices in a very unique context and in language that is unique to him alone. And it makes him different. Just alone, the gospel itself is different. And then we see a lesson today on what it is to lean in to the difference. Like the woman in this text itself, we could be offered this invitation to drink at living waters and it could be perplexing enough to turn away. Why did John choose to include this particular story? But I believe this scripture, just like that woman's response, is an opportunity. An opportunity to break apart what could have us in a space of fear. We're looking this Lenten season, a season of waiting around the journey to the cross. This year's journey, however, we've shared earlier, will be a little bit different. We're letting go of only being somber, although somberness has its place in this journey for certain. We are choosing to fast and feast, fasting from fear and feasting on the truth and the joy of the Lord. Amen? Amen. This narrative is a particular gift for doing so. The gifts are shown here in an area and a term that oftentimes we don't really see as a gift, but is actually the very crux of it, vulnerability in this passage. Both Jesus and the woman show vulnerability in this passage. Amen? Both are embodying what it means to walk into a bumbling moment of welcome. See, in general, men weren't where the women were, and women weren't where the men were. In general, women did not come in the middle of the day unless they needed to be away from the majority of society. This was not supposed to be a time of connection for her. She went in the heat of the day to gather this water. The woman shows her vulnerability in her willingness to speak to a stranger. And not only does she speak to a stranger, she speaks with truth about her actual situation to a stranger. How often do we bypass those opportunities? She spoke the truth about her real life situation. Too frequently, we put on facades or veneers of what we think we're supposed to be when we meet a stranger. Amen. And if you can't say amen, you can say ouch. Too frequently, we're so afraid of being vulnerable that we don't present our truth to the other. Jesus, likewise, is vulnerable in this passage. Jesus asks for help. Woman, can you get for me water from the well? Jesus asks for help in a time and place in which people pretend like they don't have any need for the other. We get this example, this embodiment of vulnerability in the very person of Jesus. Jesus breaks social protocol. He breaks cultural walls by speaking to the marginalized of the marginalized. She wasn't just an other. She was the other of the other. She wasn't just another person. She was a Samaritan. And not just a Samaritan, but a Samaritan woman. Jesus chose to break that for the sake of relationship. Jesus chose to shift from being the receiver to the giver in this conversation, even though we will find out later that those disciples just did not understand. But they knew not to ask. They said, I don't understand. Why is he talking to a woman? But we know better why he would be talking to this woman, this underclass of the underclass in their social settings. Likewise, the people were vulnerable when they heard this message. They invited this mind-blowing Jesus into their midst. Both received the joy of welcome from knowing each other. There is a joy in welcoming the vulnerable. There is a joy in being vulnerable and being welcomed. And when we live in that moment, we are trusting in God's ability to provide. So frequently, we are told not to welcome the other, amen? We are told to fear the stranger, to literally build walls around, because we are told that there is not enough. It's a lie. When we welcome the other, we are trusting in God's providence, God's ability to provide. So I want to share with you all an example we had most recently of welcome. So we got on the road, I still cannot believe, with our four-month-old and our vivacious eight-year-old. And we started to drive. And we landed at the home of Frank and Melody Ward. So blessed. Frank and Melody just purchased a new home, and to be honest, they had every reason to say, this isn't the right time for guests. We would have totally understood. Furniture hasn't completely arrived. There's so many reasons that stinky four-month-olds and vivacious eight-year-olds may not want to be your very first house guest. But what we experienced was the joy of welcome. We broke bread together. We shared stories of connection together. We were around the well of the table, the well of the table. And we shared life together, connecting over stories, praying together, holding cooing babies and vivacious eight-year-olds. There was something in that time that will always be a blessing. Because on paper, it doesn't really make sense when you just have a little bit, you're just getting settled to create space for four other people into your house to be your very first house guest. But they did. And my question and work for you right now is to remember the joy of welcome for yourself. When is a time in which someone has welcomed you? Not when it made any sense for them to welcome you.